chapter 13. You may be seated. Thank you so much. John chapter 13. We're going to talk about honoring the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Everybody say honor the Holy Spirit as our guide. So, again, who's guiding you, who's leading you, who's directing you, who's correcting you, who's protecting you from bad decisions and bad directions. The responsibility and partnership lies in the person of the Holy Spirit. Most of the times, unfortunately, in a lot of cases, people lean on others as their guide, the one who gives them direction, the one who counsels them on what decision to make or what move to take. You know, it's imperative, friends, that we as Christian believers and Christ followers wean ourselves off of the world and wickedness and unwitting people and wean ourselves onto the Holy Spirit. We need to be hooked up, tied up, tangled up with the Holy Spirit. And in a posture of humility, hunger, and godly honor of his role and responsibility to us and in our lives. He is our guide. And he is the best guide. Listen to what John 16:13 says. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. Whew, I just love that phrase. He will not speak of his own, but he will tell you what he has heard. He will tell you about the future. I mean, that's enough right there just to say, yes, Holy Spirit. I'm getting off of everything else, and I'm hooking up with you. He will bring me glory by telling you whatever he receives from me. And all that belongs to the Father, Jesus is talking here, is mine. That's why I said the Spirit will tell you whatever he receives from me. Short synopsis, Jesus inherited everything from his Father. We're heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus. So everything Jesus has, we have. Well, how do we get it? How do we access it? How do we appropriate it? We got to follow the guide. We got to follow the guide. Look at what it says in the New King James. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. I love it. For he will not speak of his own authority, but he whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, and he will take what is mine and declare it unto me. So the Holy Spirit is in show business. He will transmit it to you. He will translate it for you. So the Holy Spirit will take what belongs to Jesus and translate it to you for your personal victories, triumphs, and blessings. Isn't that good? All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said he will take of mine and declare it unto you. So the Greek word for guide is hodego, which means to show the way, lead, and guide. It's a tour guide. It's one who leads you on an expedition. In other words, he already knows the end from the beginning. He knows the best route, the best way, the best know-how to get to your destiny and reach your destination. He's a tour guide. You ever go on a tour guide in a zoo or a park or maybe a foreign country, they are experts in every spot, every location, every turn, every route. And so that's the Holy Spirit's role and responsibility in your life. He's a tour guide in the things of the Spirit. He's a tour guide in the things of life. He even knows how to build the best doghouse for Fido to put in that doghouse. Where to get the best wood. Do I go to HEB? Do I go to Lowe's? Do I go to Home Depot? No, he knows where to go. He even knows what's the best meat If you're going to buy ground beef or ground turkey or ground chicken, he knows this is the one you get. You practice listening to the guide in every move you make and every decision that you take or decide. He will show you the way. The Holy Spirit guides us in two things. Verse 13 tells us he guides us into all truth. Truth is in the Bible, the Word of God. Let's say, for example, you received a medical diagnosis from the doctor. And they said, you've got this condition. And unfortunately, Mr. or Mrs. So-and-so, this condition is terminal or it's incurable. How do you respond? You talk to the guide. Holy Spirit, I know that all things are possible with God. And I know that there's nothing too difficult for him. And I know that by the stripes of Jesus, he purchased and procured my healing. So how do I believe and how do I receive my healing that belongs to me? Show me the way. Hallelujah. Maybe perhaps a financial challenge is facing you in life. And you got a situation. I think I mentioned it last week. We had a tax situation. But, you know, you don't get down and panic and tell everybody about your problems and your pains and your pressures and your predicament, because that's dishonoring and disrespecting the guide. Because the Holy Spirit knows how to get you out of the deepest, darkest ditches in life. He'll come together, like we said last week. He'll come and take hold together with you in the middle of that ditch. The Holy Spirit wears muddy boots. In other words, he says, I'm going to get you out, and I'm going to show you the route. Hallelujah. And then you can begin to shout. Praise God. Hallelujah. Somebody say glory to God. He shows you the best way. He knows the way. And he'll know the word of God that you need to stand your faith on. You need to plant your faith on that scripture. The Holy Spirit will bring all things to your remembrance. Lord, how do I get my deliverance from this situation? Maybe it's a vice of something that's vexing you, a habit, an addiction, a problem that you got. And you said, Holy Spirit, I need your help here. I need your help with my weight. I need your help with my worry. I need your help with my wicked behaviors. Follow the guide. Amen. Some people listen to so many other people about diets and this and that, but the Holy Spirit knows the best diet. I remember a pastor, one of our mentors, they said, man, she lost 50 pounds. She said, what diet did you use? She said, Holy Spirit diet. And so I said, what is that? She said, I just listened to the Holy Spirit. He told me what food was good for me, what was not, what was best for my body. Because the Holy Spirit knows exactly what your chemistry and your DNA and your makeup is. And he knows what foods rebel against your body and what foods your body will receive. Amen. A man of God was having pains in his elbow, in his shoulders, in his hands, and his whole body was inflamed. Why? Because he was a coffee addict. Caffeine was his problem. He did not know it. But he's fasting and praying and going before the Lord and saying, Lord, I'm in constant pain. I've been confessing healing scriptures, but it's not getting any better. But how many know, hello, you got to listen to the guide. And the guide, the Holy Spirit says, too much coffee. And it finally dawned on him after 3 days of praying about this situation that he listened to the guide. And you see, the Holy Spirit's a perfect gentleman. He's not going to force you in a route or take you or drag you kicking and screaming along a road. He's going to say, I know the best way. I know the best route. I know how to get you out. So when he finally listened to the Holy Spirit, hello, somebody. The Holy Spirit began to talk. It's too much coffee you're drinking. There's an ingredient in coffee that your body is absolutely rebelling against. That's why you're experiencing pain from your neck, your shoulders, your elbows, your hands, your knees, all your hips. He said, that's why you're inflamed right now. He said, well, how do I do it? Great answer. He's following the guide. And so he said, you got to cut off coffee altogether. Now, he was a coffee addict. He said he drank between 10 to 12 cups of coffee a day. He went to work in the morning with a cup of coffee in his hand and two thermostats under his arm. But he was inoculating his body with the wrong substance. Are you listening to me? And so what happened? The Holy Spirit showed him. Everybody say, follow the guide. So he step by step put all your coffee. He had those fancy coffee machines, little espresso machines and all that stuff. He put all that stuff and laid it at the altar of the church. He said, now just put your hand on it and say this over all that stuff. Because he said, Lord, I don't want to have caffeine withdrawals. Those migraine headaches that come when you try to just, you hadn't had your cup of coffee in the morning. So, you know, that kind of stuff. You're not supposed to be addicted to anything except the Word of God. And the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Some people addicted to sodas. Some people addicted to other things. And you know, you can go. We can go there, right? Sometimes video games can be addicting. Social media can be addicting. It's almost pornographic for some people. Well, praise the Lord. Y'all still love me? You're supposed to be weaned off the world. Weaned off unwitting people and wickedness and weaned onto the Holy Spirit. Are you listening to me? And so he did that. He said instantly coffee disappeared. He said he hadn't had a cup of coffee or a desire for caffeine or coffee in over 45 years. Now he's an older man. Now he's in his 80s. Hadn't touched it. He followed the guide. Same thing. He said, I was nearly 300 pounds. He was addicted to sugar. He said he can eat a whole loaf of bread and butter without even thinking about it. He said, donuts? He said a dozen was my minimum. But he's pushing 300 pounds, and he's shorter than me. Big boy. How do I cut off this craving for bread? Well, we would say in San Antonio, tortillas. That's an inside joke for San Antonians, for all those from other states. But you know what I'm talking about. And so some people like that flour, and that flour is just blowing them up. Not good for them. He followed the guide. He said, do this, do this, do this, do this, do this. He said, he absolutely cut off bread. He cut off donuts and sweets. And he turned on carrots and broccoli and cauliflower and Brussels sprouts. He turned it on because he followed the guide. He began to eat healthy. Weight come down. Y'all hear it this morning? He'll guide you into all truth. Truth is in the Bible. Things are outside of the Bible. I just kind of illustrated that. What is truth, ladies and gentlemen? John 17, 17. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is what? Truth. Truth is in the Bible. So if you need a scripture to stand on, if you need a scripture to put your legs on, the Holy Spirit will bring all things to your remembrance. He'll show you the best scripture to stand on. Sometimes we pray too quick in a situation. We don't look to the guide, the Holy Spirit inside of us, and say, what does the Lord say about this? Because we're going into a situation like a bull in a china shop, and we're running in there saying, bah, 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 in the name of Jesus, I use this scripture, bah, bah, bah. And then we don't realize we're shooting faith blanks. Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You got to hear the Word of God enough to school yourself in faith, or you got to hear a word from God. And the Holy Spirit, Jesus said, the Holy Spirit will take what I said, what he hears from me, and tell you about it. So you look to the Lord. The Holy Spirit says, Lord, what do you want him to say about this situation? And he'll take what Jesus says in heaven and put it in your heart, and it'll illuminate to your mind. And you say, ha, I got it. That's the guide telling me what to do, telling me the scriptures to stand on. Hallelujah. Because their word is truth. Remember, Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Free from wickedness, free from worry, free from the woes of life, free from unwitting people's wicked and evil influence in your life. The Word of God is true. So the Holy Spirit will guide you through and to the Word of God. He'll show you the Scriptures. There's been many things. I don't have time to tell it. And I said, Lord, what am I going to do about this? And the scriptures after scriptures would come. Scripture after scripture after scripture. And I would go walking sometime. I'd go driving. And I'm quoting the scriptures. The Holy Spirit, my God, is giving me what to say and how to pray. But we got to honor his position. We got to honor his role and responsibility and partnership in our lives. What is truth again? Ephesians 4:21 says, if indeed you have heard that it have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. Amplify says, assuming that you have really heard him and been taught by him, let all truth is in Jesus. Everybody say all truth, and is in Jesus. Now, what you find outside of Jesus, you find error. You find excess. You find imbalance. You got a lot of stuff like news, noise, negative narratives, negativity of the world. Everybody's got a talk show, blog or whatever, and they all bellowing out stuff. It may not be truth though, because if it doesn't start with Jesus and end with Jesus, if it doesn't magnify Jesus, if Jesus is not the centerpiece of that, if it's not Christ-centered, then it's usually self-centered and self-serving. It's outside of Christ. And it's better to be in Christ than outside of Christ. You look a whole lot better in Christ than you do outside of Christ. We say if you're not in Christ, you're in crisis. He said all truth is in Jesus, embodied and personified in him. So if this doesn't lead you back to Jesus as Lord, Jesus is Lord. Everybody say Jesus is Lord. That he's absolute mastery over death in all his phases. Over hell and all its hosts. Over sin and all its consequences. Over Satan and all his works. Jesus is Lord. That means the Holy Spirit will guide you into all truth to show you that Jesus is Lord. No victim, only victory. No trouble or tragedy, only triumph. Jesus is Lord. Everybody say, Jesus is Lord. So sometimes the Holy Spirit will guide me and say, just speak Jesus is Lord. Because Satan's a meanie. He's a persistent cuss. He doesn't take a day off. And he don't mind giving you and I a black eye and a bloody nose. Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus is Lord. Amen. Amen. And that means you establish him as the master of this. He'll turn a mess into a miracle. But you got to follow the guide. Hallelujah. I'm having fun today. Hallelujah. See, all truth is embodied in Jesus. Jesus even said himself, John 14:6, Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the what? Life, and no man comes to the Father except through me. The bottom line, the Word of God is truth, and the living Word, Jesus is our Lord, is the embodiment of truth. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. In other words, you and I can trust the Holy Spirit to guide and to lead us into all truth, and not lead us into lies, falsities, deceptions, and misinformation. There's a lot of information that's out there. You know, even this conspiracy series. Some could be true, some could be not. What the Holy Spirit knows. Some people are following lies. Some people are following other stuff. We need to be aligned with the truth. Isn't that good? The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth, and we must take encouragement and engagement to honor the Holy Spirit's role and responsibilities to guide us into all truth. What are the things? Things are specifics of anything and everything and all things that not necessarily spelled out or detailed in the Word of God. Anything big, small, difficult, diseased, disformed, dysfunctional, deadly, or destructive. Now, I've got a history of cars and situational car situations. There's been times when my wife, who's not really mechanical in a car, would get from the guide, "I think it's this." I'm thinking, "She don't know about the car." And I'm sitting here tinkering and troubling and struggling with the car. And there he goes. She says, "I think it's this." Come down to it, she was right. But it was the Holy Spirit that was revealing right. Because, see, I was not honoring the guide. Because same Holy Spirit. There's no different Holy Spirit between my wife and myself. There's no different Holy Spirit between what's in me, who's in me, and who's in you. It's whether you honor them. When you humble and honor yourself with the Holy Spirit, you let him tell you what's going on. What's really going on? You let the Holy Spirit tell you the real reason or the root cause of that trouble or that trauma. The Holy Spirit will guide you and lead you in all things. Everybody say all things. In Romans 8, the Holy Spirit is mentioned 22 times. And then on the subject, so he's the subject of the chapter. But the phrase all things is mentioned 3 times. Romans 8:28 says, "And we know all things," everybody say all things, "work together for the good to those who love God and those who are the called according to his purpose." So all things are going to work together for my good. That means it may start out wrong or evil, but it's going to turn out right and good. Romans 8:31, "What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all? How shall he not also with him freely give us all things?" Let me give you 2021 Pastor Ed definition of that, because that's the power of daily rebuke. Every one of us go up against or face wicked or evil or insidious things during our week. Is that true? Because the devil's busy. He doesn't take a day off. So you're supposed to say something to those things. What shall we say to these things? And you dishonor the Holy Spirit when you don't say what he said to Paul to write for us to say to those things. What shall we say to those things? Financial things, marital things, family things. Amen. Health or wellness things, mental, emotional things, relational things. What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against me? Who can be against us? Or you personalize and say, if God be for me, this cannot be against me. He spared not his only son, but he delivered him up for us all. How shall he not also, dear Father, freely give me anything and everything I need? That's my definition of it. Amen. If he gave me Jesus, he'll give me anything and he'll give me everything I need. That's the right focus and that's the right faith statement. So I've had to use it in various places I can't even summarize in time. In the grocery store, you get hit with something. Or something comes on you. If you gave me Jesus, you give me anything and everything I need. Amen. If God be for me, this cannot be against me. Some people need to say it against the virus or the variants. Why? Because they tempted to get into fear. They're tempted to get into fear, and I say, if God be for me, the virus COVID-19 cannot be against me. Neither the Delta variant or the Lambda variant or whatever they call it now, hallelujah, or any other variant. No viral thing shall be against me. I got to say it because he's my guide. He's my coach. He's my counselor. He's going to help me say what I need to say because my words contain power, creative power. So you got a mountain of bills standing up there. If God be for me, this indebtedness, this lack, this limitation, this poverty cannot be against me. He freely gave me Jesus. He'll freely give me anything and everything I need. Romans 8:37. Yet in all these things, what was he talking about? Nakedness, peril, famine, pestilence, sword, pandemic. We used to call pestilence pandemic. It says pestilence in the King James. But in the midst of problems, pressure, pain, pandemics, pestilence, famine, you don't say, well, man, the gas prices are going up. Gas is almost $3 now. The guide's saying, he won't listen to me. He won't honor me. Milk has gone up. Chicken's gone up. You're not honoring the guide. Oh, they're going to bring back the mask mandate. Well, I must be walking on some tender ground there. Let me keep going. He said, yet in all these things, we were more than conquerors through him who loved us. We often say, why does the Holy Spirit deal with your mouth so much? Because he helps you pray and he helps you say. Because when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you're under the influence of the Holy Spirit. Because if you can control this tongue, you can control your whole body and you can control your whole life. Most people have loose lips. And it sinks their ship. They have diarrhea or dysentery of the mouth. They don't have any discipline in their speech because they say anything. But when you're under humbled to the Holy Spirit and yielded to the Holy Spirit and you're honoring the Holy Spirit, he helps you have mouth-to-mouth resuscitation because he gets in your mouth. And you're under his influence. I'm not going to ask who's been drunk, but anybody's seen people that's been drunk. Well, that's why he said get filled with the Holy Spirit. He said don't be drunk with wine. And you got sipping saints, boozing believers. Come on now. What you doing? What you doing? He said don't be under intoxication of worldly, wicked things. Your only influence in life is to be the guide, the Holy Spirit. Are you listening to me? And he's supposed to guide you into all truth. He's supposed to show you things. He's supposed to teach you how to pray and teach you what to say. In all these things, we're more than conquerors. So when they threaten you, they send you a legal letter, you got a document so thick you're afraid to read it. You fall asleep halfway through it. You got this challenge, that challenge. In all these things, I'm more than a conqueror. I'm more than a conqueror. But you don't have as many people following the guidelines of the guide. See, the Holy Spirit will lead us in and through all things. Romans 8:14 says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. The word led means, the Greek word for led means ago. Everybody say ago, which means an athletic term referencing someone wrestling. That's why when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, he was in agony or ago, agonizo. Agonizo means he was wrestling and struggling with surrendering to the will of God to get to the cross. He sweat great drops of blood. Hallelujah. And the other term is an athletic agricultural term referencing to lead someone like an animal on a cow on a rope. So in other words, if you let the Holy Spirit help you in private, then in public you won't lose control or get out of control. See, the Holy Spirit's your guide, but he's also your coach. And so he'll help you. In some places like India, they'll train a big old elephant or an animal or cow, and they'll put a stob in the ground when they're really young calf or young elephant, and they'll put it strong enough, pound it strong enough, so when the elephant walks a certain distance, it tugs them. It says, hey, gone too far, you can't go anymore. Go over here. Hey. So it trains them. So now, when they're thousands of pounds, they can just wrap something, rope around their neck, put a stob in the ground, and the elephant knows when he hears that, when he feels that tug, that's my limit. And even though it could bust right through that stake, he's been trained to know, I don't do that. Some of us need to be trained by the Holy Spirit to say, hey, don't say that. Hey, don't go there. Hey, click off that. Amen. Where does he lead us? Through our spirit or our inner man. 1 Thessalonians 5:23 says, now the Spirit, the God of peace, sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So everybody say this with me. I am a spirit. I possess a soul, and I live in a body. So you are trichotomy in nature. You are dichotomy in function. That means you have the natural realm and the spiritual realm. You were first created a spirit being before you became a human being. I don't have time to break it down because I'm getting ready to close. I got two more scriptures I need to give you. Then I need to close. You're a trichotomy in nature. You're a dichotomy in function. That means you exist in two realms. There is a spiritual realm, an unseen realm, that was first, that was preeminent, takes priority, takes precedence over the natural realm. So that's a born again. That's why we say born again. Jesus said you must be born again. You're born again Christian. You're born, your spirit is reborn. You don't change your body. You don't change your hair color. You don't change your eyes. You don't change your natural side. But the real you is your spirit. You are a spirit being and not just a human being. You were first created a spirit being before you became procreated as a human being. Now, I know this is a little bit theologically deeper, but I just got to get you caught up to this point. How do you know that, Pastor? Well, he told Jeremiah, Jeremiah 1. You just go back and read it when you get a chance. He said, before you were formed in your mother's womb, I knew you. What? Was Jeremiah drunk? Or was God telling us, revealing the truth? He said, before you were formed in your mother's womb, I knew you. I formed you, and he said, I called you, and I ordained you as a prophet. Before he even showed up on earth, he already had a spirit, and he already had a calling and a purpose. So the spirit realm is the first realm. It's the realm of God. God is a spirit. The Holy Spirit is a spirit. So we need to become spirit conscious, not just body conscious. Or like some people, when they fall asleep or get distracted, they become unconscious. We got to be God inside minded. We got to be every decision, every direction, we got to look to who? The Holy Spirit. That should be our default manners and methods. Look to the Lord. Whenever you pray, or whatever you say, or whatever you do and decide each and every day. Now, let me show you some things. I'm just going to cut to the end here. We'll catch up on this next time. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4. These are two ways we can dishonor the God, because I'm about honoring the Holy Spirit as our God. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29 and 30. This is a big one, guys. This is a big one. These two. And then I'm going to go to 1 Thessalonians 5 so you can keep your finger there. 1 Thessalonians 5 is the last scripture we'll cover. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Everybody getting something out of this today? Verse 29. Let no corrupt words, I'm reading out New King James, corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good for necessary edification that may impart grace to the hearers. So in other words, you're responsible. Jesus said in Matthew 12 that for every idle word we speak, we'll have to give an account for in judgment. So there's what we said, there's no inconsequential words. When you get on the phone, when you text, when you tweet, when you talk to people, are your words that are proceeding out of your mouth good and necessary for building up, benefiting, and blessing the other hearer? That it may impart grace to the hearers. That means, are your words imparting grace, or are your words gross? Because that's what he's saying. Corrupt communication can corrupt the hearers. Verse 30, he said, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. It's not separated, it's connected, because it says, and do not. That means our words can grieve the Holy Spirit. We would say dishonor the Holy Spirit. In other words, they can offend him, they can vex him, they can sadden him, they can make him sorrowful or sad. Because he doesn't get to help you. It's like he's seeing you. You got this big old weapon called your mouth, the power of your tongue, and you're shooting that weapon in your own boat. And you shoot your foot, you put holes in your boat, and loose lips sink ships. Because you let corrupt communication come out of your word mouth. That's why you need to be under the influence of the Holy Spirit. Because one of the first evidences, you speak with tongues as the Spirit gives you utterance. And so the Holy Spirit gives you the words to say and the words to pray. You got to have tongue control, mouth discipline, speech discipline. Your words matter. Your words will create an atmosphere in your home and set the thermostat and the spiritual temperature of your house where there's never a move of God at all going on at the house. You can put it on deep freeze in that house where it's cold and callous and very carnal. That means, I can't hear God. I can't hear God. I can't talk to God. Well, you got to get the carnality out. You got to clear some of the earwax out. Follow the guide. Stop grieving the Holy Spirit by your undisciplined speech. Some people, Christians, have fallen into cussing and fussing like it's a normal thing. You're grieving the Holy Spirit. You're vexing him. You're saddening him. Now, curse is just not saying profanity. Cursing is saying things not to bless people. So, blessing and cursing is basically two things. When you bless somebody, you say something good about them and good for them. When you curse somebody, you say something bad about them or bad for them. That's what verse 29 is telling us. He said you can corrupt speech. That means you can take somebody down with just your mouth. You don't need a licensed concealed carry permit or anything. You open carry now in Texas. But you can just have a weapon called your tongue and make your kids sick. and poke holes in your finances. Or take your marriage down and talk divorce and split a relationship. You could be disrespectful to people that you're supposed to honor and talk back to them, clap back to them, throw shade at them. It grieves the Holy Spirit. Turn to 1 Thessalonians 5, and we'll close with this. Hallelujah. Everybody lift your hands and say, thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
1 Thessalonians 5:19. Do not quench the Spirit. This is another way you can dishonor the Holy Spirit. The guide. Our guide. Quench means to suppress, subdue, stifle, dampen, or put out the fire. Sometimes the fire starts moving, and then you become a wet blanket. Let me put out the fire. It means to cut off the flow. Now, I want you to think about it. You have to honor the Holy Spirit as your guide in your mission, because we're not here to sit. Ladies and gentlemen, we're not here to sit. I'll say it again. We're not here to sit. We're here to serve. You are created to serve God. You are called to serve God. You are commanded to serve God. The basics of service is time, talent, treasure, testimony. Testimony is a big one that people don't, most Christians only share their faith 1.5 times a year. We're supposed to be witnesses for the Lord. Acts 1:8 tells us, you shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses. That's the first calling to be a witness, a witness for Jesus and of Jesus. In Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the world, there are four missional reaches that we need to be reaching for. Jerusalem means your family, close family, and relatives. Judea is, you know, your neighbors and friends. Samaria is strangers, people that the Lord puts across your heart. And the uttermost parts of the earth means, obviously, go across the globe. So sometimes people don't let the guide tell them, I got people in my family going to H-E-L-L. They don't know Jesus, but they won't pray for them. They won't speak salvation over them. They won't share their faith with them. You got neighbors sitting right next door across the street, and we won't reach out to them. We won't even remind ourselves to pray for them. We won't invite them to hear your testimony about Jesus. Amen. See, the Holy Spirit's not going to guide you how to make $1 trillion. Unless it's in line with your mission and purpose of life. So many times we're listening to other people and other things. We got this book from this person. We got this. We're watching this video. Why? Because we want to get ahead, and we don't want Jesus to get the glory. You were saying, Holy Spirit, don't use me until I get to church. For 2 hours you can use me, but I'm going to shut you off. I'm going to quench you. I'm going to duct tape you. I'm going to muzzle the Holy Spirit. He said, quench not the Spirit. That means don't cut off the flow when you're in Walmart or HEB, because he may want to use you to say, go talk to that person over here. They got a serious medical situation they're dealing with right now. I want you to go tell them I love them. I want you to go tell them that you're going to pray with them right now. And we go. We suppress him. We duct tape him. No, Holy Spirit, shut up. Quiet down, Holy Spirit. No. I don't have time. You're in the bank line, maybe first or around the 15th of the month, you know, when they're really busy. And you're like, I got to go. Come on, let's go. And people are right behind you in front. Holy Spirit, talk to that person. You're in Ross, talk to that person. You're in Marshall, talk to that person. You're in Target, talk to that person. When people are going to hell every 90 seconds. Amen. Praise God. Stand to your feet. It's time.